Scott Parkinson at the offices of the Club for Growth, and we are going to take a look at a number of state primaries that were held here over the last week or so, some really major developments. Scott, good to have you here.
Thanks for having me back, Loman.
Very interesting. In the state of New York, Congressman Jamal Bowman had been mainly noted for pulling a fire alarm during a congressional debate. A member of the squad, very, very interesting situation occurred in his primary. Want to fill us in?
Yeah, well, for those that aren't familiar, Jamal Bowman was a middle school principal, and he joined the radical left and sort of expanded the socialist squad of AOC and the ladies from four to, you know, really growing that group. And he was one of these radicals that spewed a bunch of anti-Semitism. He was honestly out there parroting talking points from Hamas after October 7th, really just one of the lowlifes in the House of Representatives for the radical left. And his judgment day came on election day because a lot of Jewish voters abandoned him. And a county executive there named George Latimer won that race. There was more money spent in this primary than any primary in U.S. history. And it was actually quite fascinating to watch an incumbent member lose their reelection campaign. So we're excited that Bowman lost that race, and we'll see what it looks like for George Latimer, but I don't think you can get a lot worse than what Bowman was.
Well, that would be indeed pretty difficult to do. Down in South Carolina, Scott, there was some runoff elections. Key results there.
Yeah, you might remember a few weeks ago, South Carolina held their primaries, and Nancy Mace won a big race. She avoided a runoff. But there was a runoff with Mark Burns and Sherry Biggs. Burns was endorsed by President Trump, but he unfortunately lost that race to Sherry Biggs. And Sherry's got a military record. She's kind of viewed as more of the establishment candidate there. And we'll see what kind of a member of Congress she ends up being. But I expect that race to remain a Republican district.
Over in Colorado, Lauren Boebert was renominated for Congress. There was a lot of interesting maneuvering in that race. Want to fill us in on what happened there? Very unusual situation.
Lauren Boebert has had a difficult time with reelection. When she won her first race, she defeated Scott Tipton in a Republican primary in a really, really close race. She didn't have a lot of money. And those Tipton voters just never really came around for Lauren to give her a solid base of support in her own reelection campaigns. She ran into a little bit of controversy following some personal situations there with her family and her divorce. And ultimately, she decided to leave that district in the third, and she moved over to the fourth congressional district, which is sort of like southeast Colorado rather than serving the western part of the state. She won her election. We also had a big, big vacancy through the retirement of Doug Lamborn. And in that instance, Lamborn yielded to two strong candidates. One was Dave Williams, state party chairman, and he's sort of the MAGA candidate that Donald Trump endorsed. And then you had Jeff Crank. Crank has worked for Americans for Prosperity and been involved in conservative politics for over a decade. And really, I think it was kind of surprising. Jeff Crank won that race by a very large margin, about a 2-to-1 margin. And ultimately, it was because Dave Williams was not able to raise money and had a hard time getting his own message of the Trump endorsement out there. So it matters when you're talking about direct voter contact. Can you fund your campaign and make sure people understand who you are and what you're standing for and who's supporting you? I think Crank will be a solid Republican, but he's not expected to be like a Freedom Caucus type of guy.
Over in Utah, we have incumbent U.S. Senator Mitt Romney, Scott, who not running for re-election, creating an open seat. The primary, pretty much the election. Want to give us what the lay of the land was in that primary and who won it?
The main thing was there were several candidates that were running, including current Congressman John Curtis. And there was a mayor named Trent Staggs that had the Trump endorsement. He got endorsed by Carrie Lake. He sort of had the MAGA movement coming around him. And then you had a couple other candidates, businessmen and people in the legislature that were running. Ultimately, I think it kind of came down to basically what I would say is a two-person race. And, you know, Utah is one of those states that just isn't very Trumpy and MAGA. We've seen it in the past with the way that Romney got elected. We've seen it with how Evan McMullen has been credible third-party independent-type candidate that the Democrats have rallied behind. And in this instance, Staggs and the Trump endorsement lost again. And, you know, I think it ultimately comes down to John Curtis and the ability to have a large voter base as being a current incumbent U.S. congressman. And, you know, I do think that that's a really, really safe seat for the general election. And I think it's fair to say that John Curtis will be the next U.S. senator from the great state of Utah.
And in the meantime, a few days ago, we can't talk a whole lot about it because we're actually recording this segment before the debate occurred. But we had a debate on Thursday night. Scott, very unusual, don't you think, to have a debate this early in the cycle?
Yeah, well, the Democrats say it's because they want to give all those people that do early voting beginning in September a chance to evaluate the candidates. But maybe, just maybe, Lohman, the Democrats actually want to yank Joe Biden back and replace him at the convention with somebody else. It's going to be really exciting. We know that the presidential campaign is fully underway. President Trump came to Virginia and rallied in Chesapeake on Friday, and we know he's going to be barnstorming all throughout the country as long as they don't actually throw him in jail following that sham conviction in the state of New York.
He even showed up in Philadelphia, in an area that is predominantly a minority area, making a play for the black vote this year. Of course, we have the Republican National Convention coming up in a couple of weeks, so there's going to be much to talk about over the remainder of the summer with Scott Parkinson from the Club for Growth. Scott, tell us a little bit about the club.
Well, Club for Growth is a membership organization based out of Washington, D.C., focused on economic freedom, liberty, opportunity, and pro-growth policies that are finally going to improve our situation following the COVID pandemic and the shutdown of our economy. If you want to learn more about the candidates we're supporting, check out clubforgrowth.org and follow us on X at Club for Growth with the number 4.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, talk to you again next week. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.